God's just always blessing us. Thank you. Thank you. And you as well, Howard. Has Howard even slept yet? Because he just flew in from Detroit, right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's why we did the peppy version. Right? Right? Yeah. That's why we did the peppy version. I'm like, wow, that's not like Howard would want to go that. But that was nice. I like that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, always, always, always glory of God. Yeah, so, and I'm changing the title because, God, remember, I come up with these titles like in January, and I don't know what the heck's going to happen in July or August and thing. So, but if I was to change it, I would change it to Mission Impossible. All right, because you got to feed 5,000 people, right? And, here you go. Diana and I and Andreas, we went to the movies yesterday. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I took out a second mortgage, and we went to the movies, and we had popcorn. All right? And they had soda. I had a bottle of water. All right? So I had to take out another mortgage for that. And we got to see Mission Impossible. Hey. And even though there were a lot of great stunts in that movie, with nothing compared to what gets pulled off here, the feeding of the 5,000. Jeez. If you've ever read the Bible, you'll know, if you've ever even read the Gospels, you'll know that each of the Gospel writers have their own way of telling us about Jesus. Have you noticed that? They tell us about Jesus, but each of them do it in their own way, and they don't always tell us the same things. Only Matthew and Luke, for example. Only in Matthew and Luke tell us about the birth of Jesus. All right? Mark and John don't say anything about it at all, but Matthew and Luke, now their stories don't always seem to be, but they tell us about Luke. Luke tells us the story about the Good Samaritan. He tells us the story about the prodigal son. He's the only one. None of the others tell us that story. Why is that? Those are good stories. I mean, if I'm writing a gospel, I'm putting that in there too, all right? All right, and John tells us the story about the raising of Lazarus. Whoa, the woman at the well. The others don't include that. But all of them, all four of the gospels, tell us the story that we just heard. About the story about the feeding of the 5,000. All four of them. It's the only miracle they all talk about. Now, each of them talk about it in their own way because that's the way things go, all right? If you ask Diana and myself and Andreas about Mission Impossible, we're all going to tell you our remembering of it. All right? The way John tells this story is important. First of all, when John tells the story, he says it was Passover. Well, now for us as Christians, we go Passover. But if you're Jewish and you know that it's Passover time, oh, your mind's thinking. Your mind is remembering. In the story of Passover, not only did they have special food, they had a special story. It was their time to remember when God led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. All right? It's an important story to their life history. It's an important story to how they understand how God works in the world. It's an important time to know. Passover means that God delivers us. That's not the literal translation, but that's what they are remembering. God delivers us. And if you remember the story of Passover, you remember. There they are in the wilderness with nothing to eat. Ain't no restaurants, no Wawa's, nothing. They're just out there with nothing. And after a while, their stomachs are grumbling, they're thinking, and what? And God provides manna, bread from heaven, bread from heaven. All of that simply because John says it's Passover time. See, for us, we skip right over that part. It doesn't mean anything to us. It's like saying it's Wednesday afternoon. Okay. But if you're part of that group, oh, Passover time. That's important. The way John tells this story of the feeding of the 5,000, he's the only one to talk about the little boy. See, all of them talk about the 5 loaves, all of them talk about the 2 fish, but only John talks about the little boy who had the 5 loaves and had the 2 fish. I'm getting ahead, though, because I'm jumping into the middle of the story, because in the beginning of the story, what happens is Jesus throws a pop quiz. Don't you remember that in school? Teacher says, we're going to have a pop quiz today. And you're thinking to yourself, see, this is what happens when the Dolphins lose. Teacher comes in, bad mood. Now, you know, we got to have a pop quiz. Jesus throws a pop quiz on the disciples. He looks up, he sees 5,000 people, and he turns to Philip. Don't you just love it when you're sitting up here in the front, right here? Lorraine loves it, because I just come over to her, all right, and I can just give her a pop quiz. And she's like, okay, bring it on. I could go back there, hit John or Nicole. They'd be happy. Bring it on. Poor Philip. That's the last time you ever hear Philip's name. I'm not sitting next to Jesus anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. Because Jesus turns to Philip and says, how are we going to feed all these people? Let's see, 5,000 people. Is this a math question? Is this a word problem? Because I'm not very good at word problems, Jesus. And they don't know. They don't know. And then Andrew says, hey, we got a little boy here. He's bringing us 5 loaves and 2 fish. You see that little boy? That little boy didn't see the crowd's need and the crowd's hunger. That little boy saw Jesus. He trusted in Jesus. He trusted in God's ability and God's abundance and wasn't fearful about the world's need or the crowd's need or scarcity. That's a pretty amazing story when you think about that. How you're able to entrust a little bit to Jesus, to allow Jesus then to do that miracle of feeding 5,000 people. But it all begins with a little boy. A little boy entrusting to Jesus 5 loaves, 2 fish for 5,000 people. And Jesus has them. Hey, everybody sit down. We're going to have a meal. And everybody sits down. And everybody gets their fill. And there's leftovers. There's leftovers. Everyone filled. God's abundance always enough to meet whatever needs are before us. See, the thing about this story, though, that I think sometimes we stumble upon is that you know, I mean, we're really like the disciples. I mean, if we were in that situation, seriously, and a little boy came up to us with 5 loaves and 2 fish, what are we going to say? Go back to your mom. I mean, we're not going to think that that's enough. We're not going to think that that's enough, and neither do the disciples think it's enough. Even what are they among so many? This isn't going to be enough. This is never, ever, ever going to work. But we forget that Jesus looked at these 12 disciples and said, I'm entrusting the mission of the church to them. Those 12. Talk about the biggest losers. I mean, really, they're clueless. They don't never seem to understand anything. And yet Jesus says, no, no, no. That's the group. That's the team. That's who I'm putting together to entrust the mission of the church to them, even when they get the answer wrong, even when they don't know. They know enough to come to Jesus. See, I think sometimes the problems with miracles is that we tend to think that it lets us off the hook. Oh, I can't do anything about that. Oh, that problem's way too big. I can't take care of anything like that. That's beyond my capabilities. That's beyond my resources. We'll just have to trust all of that to God. We're all too happy to let God take care of the crowd. Hey, God, 5,000 people, they need something to eat. Take care. All right? I did my part. I told God, just in case God wasn't paying attention. That was my job. My job was to tell God we have a need, and he needs to get off the stick and do something. He needs to feed the world. He needs to help the helpless. He needs to do it all because we, after all, don't have what it takes. Look at us. I mean, really. Look who's sitting next to you. You're going to entrust these people with the mission of God's grace? Really? They can't get from the parking lot to the church without getting wet. How are they going to do this? And so we sit and we wait. We lament, oh, the need is so big. Oh, our resources are so small. And I keep going back to that little boy, though. I keep going back to that little boy. His name isn't even mentioned. Did you hear that? Even Philip and Andrew's name get mentioned. You never hear about Philip and Andrew. Even they get mentioned in the story. The little boy's name never gets mentioned at all. And yet, without his gift, the miracle would never occur. I keep going back to this little boy, and I think maybe that the lesson God is telling us in this story is to stop waiting for a miracle and participate in one instead. That's what God's saying to us. He says, stop waiting for a miracle. Participate in a miracle. Offer me what you have and let me bless other people. Stop telling me that what I've given you isn't enough. What I have given you is more than enough. There were leftovers. There is plenty in you. You have plenty of what it takes to meet this world's need, to meet the crowd's need. You look at the world and you say, oh, look how bad things are. Oh, everything's so bad. Oh, it's all so hard. You have what it takes. Don't tell me that what you have is not enough. Give it to me. Participate in the miracle that can unfold. Don't wait for the miracle. Participate in it. We saw that movie, Mission Impossible. Have you ever watched any of those movies? All right? You at least know the theme song, all right? Have you ever noticed it's not just about Tom Cruise? There's always a team involved. Always a team involved. And the church is no different. Christianity is no different. We take our cue from Jesus. Jesus is the leader. We all understand that. But Jesus has also selected and called each of us to be members of the team. Each of us have something that we bring for the mission impossible that is before us. So that when there are 5,000 people who are hungry and needy, and Jesus says, what are we going to do? You say, I don't know, but this is what I have. I entrust it to you. I entrust it to you. This is what I have. I entrust it to you. Without that boy's generosity, without that boy's trust, the entire mission is in jeopardy. Now, our names may never make the headlines. No one may ever remember who we are. But they will never forget the difference that we made with what we have when we entrusted it to Jesus, just like that little boy. What we have is more than enough. You have a little bit of hope. It's enough. You have a little bit of light. It's enough. You have a little bit of love. You have a little bit of compassion. When we entrust these resources to God, we will discover that it is more than enough to meet the needs before us. Amen.